We'll conclude with Texas A&M's Mike Elko. The Aggies will host LSU on Saturday night at 6:30 Central on ABC. To ask a question for Coach, please use the raise hand function. And Coach, while we wait on those questions, if you could please take a moment to comment on your team as you prepare to host LSU on Saturday night.
Yeah, excited for an opportunity this week hosting LSU and Kyle Field. But our guys did a good job coming off the bye week of fighting through some adversity on the road last week and winning in Starkville, which is a place that we haven't won an awful lot. And so, we were able to set this matchup up and excited to get to work this week, but put our best foot forward and go out and play a big nationally televised game on Saturday.
We'll begin with Wilson Alexander, the Advocate.
Hey, Mike, what was it about Tommy Moffitt that impressed you during the interview process?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of, a guy who has, unbelievable success and accolades in the profession, has certainly won championships, three national championships with three different head coaches. And so you maybe expect it to be a little bit old school. And then the first time you sit down and you talk to him, you realize how well educated he is in the sports science field, how modern he is, how up to date he is with everything. And really what he's doing from a training standpoint is really on the cutting edge. And so, to find both of those in the individual was something I really coveted. And so made him the guy.
What effect has he had on your team to this point, do you think?
I think it's been immense. I think the job that he's done from a physical standpoint is noticeable. I think we're stronger. We're more conditioned. I think the job he's done from a mental standpoint has been very well seen. And so he's been a huge part of our success for sure.
Thank you.
Next would be Brett Zerneman of the Houston Chronicle.
Mike, I should have asked you this before, but since you're facing Brian Kelly, I'll ask you now. It seems like Notre Dame defensive coordinator would be a dream job for a lot of guys. Why only 1 year there?
I just think it was the opportunity to get into the SEC, and start something new. I think there was an enticement for me to be part of this conference. Brian was great to me. I'll be forever thankful for him giving me that opportunity. We spoke after I left through the years. About different things. And so certainly had nothing to do with that. I think it was just the opportunity to come down here and be part of something new in the SEC. That was exciting for me.
And I guess some fans would say, hey, all maroon all the time, but how neat is it to have a player driven deal like the Black out there planning? I saw you voice support for it. And I would imagine something like that could help in recruiting as well.
Yeah, I think as we talk about respecting and honoring tradition and trying to blend them into what is the modern era of Texas A&M football, I think this is a really good look at what we're trying to do. 11 games in the traditional maroon and white, and one that our students deserve a little bit of an opportunity to go out and do something a little different. And so we're going to give them that chance.
Thank you.
Next will be Mike Griffith of AJC Dog Nation.
Coach, we hear so much about program culture and buy-in, and I reflect on your season opener, and yet now I look at where A&M is at. How do you explain how you were able to, get that buy-in, get that, I guess, edge that we're seeing A&M play with right now, despite a disappointing start to the season?
Yeah, I think the credit goes to the players. I think we came in and just talked about, in this day and age, there's so many reasons why teams don't play together, teams don't play like teams. But if you look at successful organizations in football, sports, or really any facet of life, there's a togetherness that bonds everyone in the building, in the program. And to be successful, you have to find a way to do that. And so, we talked about it, we laid out a path for it. But the credit goes to the kids. They didn't have to listen. They didn't have to buy in. They chose to do what they did to change things around here. So, really proud of them, proud of the effort that they put in, and glad that they're getting the results on the field, that people are taking notice of it.
Next will be Anthony Catalina, the Austin American Statesman.
Hey, coach, you often hear, coaches around the league, yourself included, say, like, you worry about doing, you're not making things bigger than they have to be, right? Every game is just as important as the last one. But is there something to be said about embracing this environment and just taking this challenge and accepting that and knowing that, hey, this is a cool opportunity, unique opportunity to play, a good football team in front of a packed house, night game, a lot of, fun implications around that?
Yeah, I think we try to focus on both sides of it. I think it would be naive to assume that nobody understood in our locker room the magnitude of this one versus another one. And so you do. You embrace it. You embrace this as the opportunities that you came to Texas A&M to be part of. But then I think the focus in terms of how to get the result is all those little details that help you, regardless of opponent, regardless of venue, regardless of magnitude of the game. And so it's how you can identify that, sure, this one has a little bit more of a national stage and national exposure, but we don't want to just be in these games. We want to find ways to be successful in them. And to do that at the core, football is football, and we've got to find a way to, sift through all the noise and still play our brand of football the way we know how.
Thank you, Coach.
Next will be Cokie Riley, the Advocate.
Hey, Coach, for the growth of the sport, how important was it for the college football playoff to expand?
I don't know. I think obviously it creates more inclusiveness, which is usually a good thing. I think time will tell in terms of how it all truly plays out. I do think you're starting to see more buzz around more programs this year because, all of a sudden this team's off to a good start and maybe they won't finish one or two, but maybe they can be in the top 12. And so I think it's making it more inclusive. I think that's always a good thing because there's more fan bases included longer and, but then we'll see kind of where this thing goes from a long-term standpoint.
Has it affected the way you coach your guys in terms of the expectations of the season or how you approach certain games or anything of that nature?
No, I don't think it changes. I still think, you're in a world where you're trying to win every Saturday. And I don't know that anybody can identify which games are more or less important on Saturday to plot your way to the playoffs. But I think that when you lose a game like Notre Dame early, you still have so much of an opportunity to point for all of the goals in your season to be successful. Whereas had it been a 4-team playoff, I'm not sure that coming out of the Notre Dame game, that conversation is a reality.
Thank you.
Next will be Carter Carrells of Gig'em 24/7.
Mike, I wanted to ask you just about the social media and creative team that you guys have and just how much you've enjoyed the hype videos, the uniform reveals, and all the little things that they're doing this year.
Yeah, I think it was an area we identified as something we needed to embrace and move on. I think social media platforms are your number way to advertise your sports programs in today's culture. And obviously recruits are on social media all day, every day. And what they see in a lot of ways shapes the narrative of your program. And so I think when we got here, we weren't exactly where we wanted to be in terms of content, followership or anything. And we've challenged that group to go find ways to be creative to the market that we're trying to market, that 18 to 21 year old market. And I think they've done a phenomenal job of taking that challenge and really elevating our brand and what we're about. And I think people are taking notice of that.
Has there been a favorite video, whether it's, Trey Watson at the airport hangar or, Jahdae Walker doing the Joker dance, anything that's kind of stood out to you that you've really enjoyed?
I probably liked the Trey Watson one in the hangar. I thought that had some real class to it, but to be honest, I stay in my lane. I kind of give a direction of what I'm looking for. And then I let our players tell me whether they think it's good or not, because they're really the market we're aiming for.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Clark.
Next is Mike Griffith of AJC Dog Nation.
Coach, I was asking some other coaches about crowd noise and preparation. Kyle Field, obviously, incredibly loud. Is that a challenge for your defense? You know, sometimes on, you know, with everybody making noise about the offense, I mean, is that something you've had to manage, or did it catch you off guard just how loud that place is?
Yeah, so I'll be honest with you, Mike. It caught me off guard the first time I was here as the defensive coordinator. We played a big game against Clemson earlier in the year, and you know how deafening the noise was caught me off guard. And so since I've been back, we actually do the reverse crowd noise music. So when we're on the road, we blare the speakers behind the offense, and when we're at home, we actually blare the speakers behind the defense, so that you know they learn how to communicate through those third downs when the crowd is really rocking and trying to affect the offense.
Thanks, Coach.
Coach, we'll wrap you up with Alex Miller, the Bryan College Station Eagle.
Hey, Mike. First of all, just want to see if Chase Basantis and Terry Bussey had practiced this week.
Yeah, Terry's going to be fine. We don't expect anything. Chase is going to still kind of be a wait and see type of deal. You know, not really sure where exactly that one's going to go yet.
Gotcha. And, you know, you shared earlier this week about how you and Coach Kelly had some similar paths along your coaching journey. Just curious, you know, during that 1 year at Notre Dame, was there anything you really learned from him that has really stuck with you over the years?
Yeah, I think, you know, that was my first time, and I don't say this to disrespect any of the places I was before Notre Dame, but you know, that was the first time that I really got on you know, this big stage of college football. And, you know, just the mental preparation, the sports psychology that goes into young people having to play in these types of venues and these types of environments with these types of expectations. And, you know, that was all new to me at the time. And so I thought he did a really good job managing the team psychology, managing through all of that. And, you know, for me to get to see how he did that, I thought that was really helpful for me at that point in my career.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Alex.
Coach, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck.
And that'll wrap us up for the week. Thank you all for being with us. Have a great rest of the week and hope you will enjoy the games again this Saturday. Appreciate it all. Be safe.